In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
All right, here we go. Three brothers chopping up sports and other stuff in a little pocket of New York City we like to call Meast. Alex Lupica, Chris Lupica, Zach Lupica, In the Loop podcast. And Chris, I want you to start off by saying something about one of us. Let's not introduce ourselves. Let's say something nice about each other.
We know each other pretty well.
We know each other very well. Let's give America a little taste of what they're going to get out of Zach Lupica on this podcast, your youngest brother.
You remember that show Stump the Schwab?
Yes.
For the diehards out there?
Of course.
Zach is a better looking Schwab. And I can think of one conversation we had that really sums him up nicely.
Sure.
Sports, it's big with him. So we were talking about Game 7, Cavs, Warriors. He goes, who do you want to win? I said, the Warriors, but I won't be devastated if the Cavs win. Yeah. He goes, no, it doesn't work like that. So it
doesn't.
It's right. It's win or go home. It's all or nothing. Huge sports fan. Knows all the stats. Really fills in the gaps nicely around here.
And I'm better looking than the Schwab.
You better look than the Schwab.
Much better.
That's
not close.
Not
I
that
saw
the
him
Schwab
in person
is,
once.
Not that the Schwab is unattractive.
No.
Zach is just more attractive.
Wasn't he in this year's version of ESPN The Body? Did they include a Schwab feature this
Last
year?
Last cut. And then my brother Alex, who you heard right off the top, he's the host. The
Go ahead.
Most attractive.
The northern Guys. Star of this podcast. Stop. The Brian Williams right down the middle. The Willie Geist. He's going to bring you. He's taking us right down the middle, and he's going to try to keep us on track here, which is not always easy.
I'm going to QB this thing.
That's right.
I'm not an Aaron Rodgers, Zach.
Sometimes I look at you, and I know something's going on up there. I'm just not exactly sure.
Compare me to a QB in the NFL.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Tavares Jackson.
I was thinking of Alex Smith, game
manager. That's good.
Not going to throw the home run ball, but I'll get you down the field with a little dink and dunk.
If you got a good defense and you got some good guys
really
around
good defense.
You.
Kyle Orton.
You really could win, you could win eight games.
That's true. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, over-under is always going to be 8.5. And maybe you hit it, maybe you don't. Zach, Chris Lupica, the oldest. I've lost track of his age. It's up there.
Yeah,
does it begin with a 3 yet?
It's getting there.
Doesn't begin with
Holy.
A 3.
Holy.
He's not going to wow you with work ethic.
No.
He's
no,
more
has never wowed you with work ethic.
More of a 9:30 to 4:30 kind of guy.
Not going to be the first in, not going to be the last
work
to leave.
Work to live, yes. Not live to work.
Not a Clydesdale.
An unfinished portrait.
Like a bad portrait, though.
Wow.
Well, you know, the outline of a decent portrait.
Not
and they talk about Russell Wilson, first to the office, last to leave, watched a lot of film. I'm not going to be that guy for you.
You don't want to be that guy.
But I have thoughts. I like sharing them. And, you know, here we go.
Jeez. You know what someone said to me today, Zach, when we were getting ready to fire up this first In the Loop?
No.
Don't worry about it. Chris does all the talking anyways.
That's true.
What do you think about that?
I think he probably is 60%. You're 25, I'm 15. Does that add up?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Nobody check that on a calculator because there's no way it's right. So that's a little bit about us and what you're going to get out of the pod.
The good news is the reviews are in.
They are.
And people
in a manner of speaking.
People don't want us.
No, they don't. There has never been a worse preemptive review since like Green Lantern.
They literally have nothing to go off of, and we were destroyed by Deadspin about 10:30 this morning. Deadspin, they saw a 45-second promo.
Deadspin picked her up. Barstool picked her up. We're going to read from some of the Barstool comments later on. Chris gets reamed out by some guy.
Chris was apparently a douche in high school.
I weirdly got congratulatory texts today. They're like, wow, huge on Bar. I'm like, did you read the article? They were making fun of us.
They were destroying us.
But that's just the way it is
and
now.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. So,
but I love it.
Oh, I loved it.
I want to ask Dad, and we should point out our first guest on the pod is going to be the man that literally gave us life, Michael Thomas Lupica. And I want to ask him what it's like to be a polarizing media figure in this country, like he has been for decades, because, Chris, it seems like something we're going to have to start to deal with a little bit, starting with the kid who wants to take your life from high school.
In order to be polarizing, people have to like you, so we got work to do on that front, but we'll get there.
You especially.
All right, you're taking the textbook definition of polarizing. Like, I just meant bad. Anyways, the topic we're bringing him on for is the sports story of the summer, Kevin Durant, to the Warriors, and at the time it happened, Dad wrote a column about it, being highly critical of Kevin Durant. Chris, you have framed this thing as sort of an old school sports fan versus new school sports fan disagreement. So that sets up perfectly.
It sure does.
For us and Dad. I hope you're ready to take the other side. I don't know if you are, but I hope you are. After that, Zach, we're going to talk dog days of sports summer.
Yeah, it's getting brutal.
It's brutal, but this summer has actually been better than most summers. You had Copa. I know you love that.
Copa and Euro, yeah.
We had Euro. You had the Wales run.
Yeah.
That was special.
Yeah. Baseball's heating up.
We got Olympics coming up. Are you excited for the Olympics at all?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No.
What about, like, the Rio chaos?
No. Like, don't care at all.
Bodies washing up on the volleyball beach? No, you're not interested.
It's better than an empty beach.
You'll watch Bob's monologue at the top.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. But the point of the conversation is, how are we filling our time? What stories trending currently are occupying some of that space that live sports should be occupying? Zach, I know you want to get into The Bachelor a little bit.
It's what the people want to hear about, dude.
It's pretty much all they want to hear about. Your hero is Aaron Rodgers. His brother is on the show this year. And said some things on the show this week about your boy, Aaron.
You didn't expect to hear.
That have to make you at least think twice about what kind of guy number 12 is.
Nope.
And Chris impossibly Deflategate is back in the headlines over a year later. And the last recourse is the Supreme Court, which we have talked about before months and months and months ago. But we begin with Papa Lupica. All right, let's fire up the ITL Hot Take Hotline. And there would be no ITL Hot Take Hotline. There would be no us. There would be no In the Loop. There would be nothing.
No New York City.
Let me just say, we could get at any other guest. We wanted this guest to episode one.
We had him banging down the doors.
Yeah.
But we wanted this guy. And, Dad, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. You boys are behaving so far, so I assume that after one segment, you're still going.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We'll talk to you when you hear the seg. But, listen, you wouldn't agree to do this hit unless I plugged your podcast. We had lengthy deliberations, and that was your demand. But you have a little show of your own, and you've had some pretty, not the sort of guests we get. No. You don't have JJ from The Bachelorette or anything like that. But you've had some good names, some solid people. And I'm wondering if there's a conversation that stands out so far. You had Larry David, Bob Costas. You recently had Matt Lauer, Charles Barkley. Is there one that stands out in your mind 8 weeks or so in?
Well, I mean, Larry David in the very first one just tossed. I knew he had gone to see Hamilton, and he tossed off a line about how, you know, white people were going to see it and raving about it to prove their liberal bona fides, and that got picked up all over the place in about 10 seconds, which I didn't even know how people picked up on stuff like that. And then with John Calipari, I was asking a question about all the famous coaches who have gotten into various kinds of difficulty with the NCAA. And, you know, I know all the bad blood between Cal and Rick Pitino, but I wasn't specifically asking about Rick because I've known Cal long enough. If I wanted to ask him a question about Rick, I would have. I was thinking about Boeheim and Rick and Roy Williams and Larry Brown and all the stuff that happened. And, you know, Cal gives an answer about if it happens on your campus, you have to know about it, and people just assumed. He says now, it's not what he says as much as what people think he meant. And so that got tremendous attention, and it set Rick's hair on fire. And
and we have tremendous affection for both, we should point out, for Coach Pitino and for Coach Cal.
But wait, Dad, so let's take that, what you said about how you're surprised by how quickly people react and how quickly it gets out there now. The media, like, you've obviously seen a huge change in the media landscape, and I've been thinking a lot about this with respect to Kevin Durant and his decision to go to Golden State. Has the First Take universe that we live in now, how many titles have you won, what have you done for me lately, right away, all the time, do you think it's changed? Not only obviously the media's changed, but has it changed the way that the game is played, that transactions are made, that athletes think about themselves in the bigger picture?
I think the modern athlete is obsessed with what people are saying about him on social media. You start there. I like the other night at the ESPY Awards, I believe that LeBron and Wade and Chris Paul and Carmelo were being sincere, but in a way they were also playing to their base and saying things that they thought people wanted them to say. I wrote a column about this today, how what we do in the media is we demand that athletes be socially responsible. It's like it's our job to tell these young men how to live their lives. And the other problem, Christopher, is this. And it's not just a First Take universe. It's what I call exploding head debate shows all over television, where it's like a contest to see whose head's going to explode first, because we live in an age in sports, in politics, in everything, where it's harder and harder for people to actually see both sides of this of an issue. You're either this or you're that, whether it's on abortion or immigration or race or cops or anything. You know, it's what the president said the other day. We just all keep going to our respective corners, and it's so profoundly sad, but it informs the conversation that everybody's having.
Well, so going off of that, I mean, what was it different? Were the good old days really so? What's the difference? How do you see it the way, I mean, you grew up covering sports and you were really close to a lot of athletes. It was a different time. There wasn't any social media. Do you think it was better? Were the good old days better or just different?
Listen, the one thing I tell everybody about you guys is not only have you made me smarter about sports, you have convinced me of something, and it is this, that the good old days are now. But I will tell you, when I broke into the business, it was nothing to go out and have a drink with an athlete after a game. That doesn't happen anymore. The athletes kind of needed us and wanted us to get their message out. We were like their conduit to the public. They've eliminated the middleman now. I'm even amazed that Derek Jeter thought we needed the Players Tribune, because all they've got to do is tweet. And you know, the one thing that bothered me when Derek started the Players Tribune, it was like he had to protect athletes from guys like me. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. When did I ever screw you in all the years I covered you?
But it's a different sort of access today, isn't it, Dad? Like, we have accessibility to these guys in a way that is almost so much closer and more profound with social media and Snapchat, and we see their Instagrams, and we're basically in their bedrooms with them sometimes. D-Wade, I mean, he'll throw one up there. And you were going out to drinks with them. And it makes it much harder for journalists, but I kind of like the access we get because of technology.
Yeah, but Alex, here's the thing that always interests me. And I wrote a book a long time ago called Mad as Hell, and I talked about this. Sometimes
I
think the more we know and the closer we get to the action, I'm not sure it's enhancing our enjoyment of the games. Like, we knew everything about Mrs. Steph Curry during the finals.
And Riley Curry.
I guess it heightened interest, but I don't know if it enhanced my interest of one of the most compelling NBA finals I've ever seen. Though I have to tell you, Mrs. Curry getting her own show on one of those cooking networks was as inevitable as the tide once she started tweeting during the finals.
Dad, let's segue over here. This is what we like to call a segue in the biz to Durant after you're talking about the Warriors.
This is called broadcast.
Durant couldn't up 3-1. They lose to the Warriors. He goes and joins them. That's the hot summer topic. We just want to get your thoughts on it.
Listen, I always celebrate when you've got the hammer. When you're a player, you use it, because for about 12,000 years in sports, the owners and general managers had the hammer, and they would hit even star players over the head.
And this all started with LeBron, right? I mean, it all started with LeBron flexing his muscles and going to Miami that way.
The Big Three in Boston too kind of did it.
Yes,
the Big Three in Boston did it, Zach. But that was kind of organized by an executive.
Right.
What happened in Miami was what you guys hear me talk about, the AAUization of the NBA, where I want to go play with my buddies. But it worked, and it turned the Heat into one of the most famous rock bands ever in the NBA, maybe the most famous since Michael's Bulls. And so now everybody wants to do it. LeBron breaks up the band in Miami, but he goes and he forms a new band in Cleveland. You know, you know what I think about Kyrie. It's just, it's like a trophy wife. He just traded Dwayne in for a younger, better model.
And we saw why.
Yeah, because, Chris, you said it during the finals. The game that Kyrie Irving played in Game 5, Dwayne Wade wasn't going to play that at this stage in his career. And then, on top of this, Kevin Durant says, you know what? You know that it's the old line. I'll have what he's having. He looked at LeBron and said, "I want what he had." Okay, and as Durant himself said either today or yesterday, "I'm not very popular right now, but guess what? It'll draw even more attention to his career than ever before and his brand." And sometimes that's as much the object of the game as existing in this culture where these guys have all become convinced that if they don't win a title, they're nothing.
That's what
I was
going to
say. Nothing.
Dad, Chris mentioned at the top, and the premium we put on the title and the ring as sports fans. It's like if you don't get to a certain number, you're not compared to that guy. If LeBron doesn't get to six, we're not going to consider him the best NBA player ever. And is it fair? And is it hurting the game in the way that we see Durant chasing this ring in Oakland, or should we be putting the premium we are on the rings?
No, I think we put way too much of premium. I mean, you go back through history. Is Ted Williams maybe the best pure hitter of all time dirt because he played in one World Series and didn't win it for the Red Sox? Come on. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about all the great quarterbacks, and he said, you know what, you give me 2 minutes to go down the field, and I'm not sure I won't take Dan Marino, but Dan Marino's in that club. Charles Barkley's in that club. Stockton, Malone, Reggie Miller, you know. And then there's a bunch of Robert Horry. You know, we talk about this all the time.
And James Jones.
In the loop. There's all those Robert Horry's
yes.
out there.
It's not indicative of how good you are as a player. There are other guys on your team. And I don't think LeBron's supporting cast has gotten the credit it deserves in the wake of this title.
Well, Dad, we talked about it before Game 7. The thing is, if you can watch Game 7, watch that whole series, and say, well, if Kyrie doesn't hit that shot, LeBron doesn't make the block against Iguodala, somehow that means that the amount of years that LeBron's been in the league somehow change.
Yeah.
Like, how many games, how many minutes?
Ray Allen doesn't make that three in the corner.
Yeah. And it changes everything.
And then all of a sudden, you stink. So if that's your way of looking at it, but I think that is what Kevin Durant... Look, I think there's a lot to it. It's San Francisco. It's going to be fun.
Yes.
It's great for it. But I think that when it's insane that people at the age that Kevin Durant is 27, 28, he's already talking about... People are talking about his legacy as if you know, his career's almost over.
Yes. And I will say, let me ask you this, Dad. Is a title, or are there more meaningful championships? Is LeBron's ring this year more meaningful in the eyes of us as sports fans and in his eyes than the rings he won in Miami?
Alex, I believe that the title he won is as meaningful and important as any team, city, athlete has ever won in sports. People keep saying, oh, if the Cubs win, it'll be like this. No, it won't. Because you look at Chicago, Cubs fans are just a segment of the city. Cleveland was the heartbreak capital of the world. You put in all the factors, who this guy is. He's the biggest star in American sports, and he comes from up the road in Akron. He broke their heart and left them, and he comes back. Alex, you're 100% right. Not all championships in sports are created equal. This is as great as anything I have seen in my lifetime. I'm telling you, you know how important the hockey team was. That's a completely different category for me. But to me, this was the most enjoyable title I've seen any team get since Lake Placid.
Dad, one more quick question before we let you go.
I have another.
You have another?
Yeah. Don't end the segment prematurely. Go ahead.
You know us pretty well. I want you to tell us and the rest of the world which one of us three you would think would bolt to a title town to get as many rings as possible.
Do it.
Christopher.
Are you serious?
I completely agree.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, man.
Well,
I completely
there we
agree.
Have
He's
it.
A glory boy.
There we have it. I do love the glory. What am I kidding? I'd love the celebration.
Christopher.
The whole part. Yeah.
Christopher, you were born with your hands in the shooting position, I actually think that your first room you thought had a three-point line.
Wow. It's more fun to make shots than it is to get rebounds.
Didn't play a lot of D.
Dad, he wasn't a great defender, was he?
All right, enough of the Kloop bashing. Alex, what do you got?
I want to end on a high. Just ripping on you is the best.
That's what I was going for. And then remember?
All right, I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't know.
That's all right.
Hey,
all
Dad, thanks for coming on with us, man. We really appreciate you taking the time. As Alex said off the top, he did Matt Lauer yesterday. I mean,
check out the Mike Lupica podcast.
Check out the Mike Lupica podcast. Yeah. He's killing it. Have a good one.
Love you, Dad.
I've always hoped that there would come a point where you all would start supporting me. My prayer is that this is the beginning of that.
Day one, baby.
Enough said. Thanks, Dad.
See you, Pops.
I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Good conversation with Pops, Chris.
He's a pro.
The guy is such a pro. He turns it on.
He really
does. We
were
having some technical difficulties at the beginning.
Getting a little frustrated.
You couldn't tell. The viewers couldn't
tell. Are you kidding me? The guy's a red light performer, and he always has been. And he always will be. Kloop's trying to rush me through this segment, Zach. But I want to kind of...
You're a little long-winded.
Trust me, it's going to be fun. Like we said, dog days of sports, not a lot going on live-wise. Although, today, Kloop, Phil with the 63 at the British, lips out for 62. Do you know there have been like over 20 63s in majors, but never a 62?
And also, they showed a montage today, which is incredible because leading up, shout out Golf Channel. Production.
Yeah, heck of a network.
Yeah, hell of a network. And they showed a montage of lip outs for 62. There's been three lip outs. Tiger had a full lip out, 07 PGA in Tulsa. It literally went around the hole. And you could just tell it's brutal. And Phil, Zach and I were watching it live today.
Did you see Bones hit the deck?
And oh my goodness, it was
full on the ground.
He collapsed. Like a sniper took him. Yeah, he collapsed.
And I'll never watch one of those things without thinking Tin Cup. No one shot 62 in major, not even Nicklaus.
I turned Tin Cup off after the first 80 minutes every time. Zach, we gotta throw something at you here, Aaron Rodgers-wise. And we didn't want to bring number 12 into the pod before the NFL season starts.
I like how you call him number 12.
To open us.
No confusion with Brady. He's
we're
going to
get, don't worry, we're going to get to him later. But we're all sitting around watching The Bachelorette, excuse me. This week.
Hoping JoJo finds love.
Hoping JoJo can find a
she
man
she deserves it. JoJo,
can
you deserve
marry.
It.
And deserve it. Jordan Rodgers, Aaron's little brother, former QB at Vandy, is a contestant on the show. What's he putting in that hair, Chris?
I don't think he puts anything in his hair,
That is insane to think, Chris, that you think that's
he's
natural.
He's reinventing the hair game.
It's so out of control while being in control that it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
If you haven't watched the show, just Google it. It's like it's a wispy, long deal on top, short on the side.
When it's perfect, it's perfect. And when it's messy, it's perfect. I digress.
I couldn't say it any better than that. Couldn't say it any better than that.
God, that was well put. So he's obviously a favorite to win this season, right?
Front runner.
He's got to be the front, despite what Robbie may say. Jordan's the front runner.
Robbie's
and so this week, ahead of hometowns next week, we got a little window into the Rodgers family
life. We got an absolute bombshell.
He says he doesn't speak to his middle brother.
He doesn't speak to Aaron.
And he goes, I don't speak to my middle brother. He won't be there. Not even Aaron Rodgers.
But then like, JoJo's like, oh, you mean Aaron?
You mean the Super Bowl MVP. But Zach, what's going on?
Dude, I don't know.
Zach, if I didn't speak to you, like how sketchy would that be? I don't know. Like, what would that say about me? Here we are up in Meese doing a podcast. Jordan doesn't even talk to Aaron. Red flag? Red flag?
Well, yeah, it's a red flag.
Yeah.
But
worrying.
But knowing what I know about both those their personalities, I gotta assume that Aaron's the better guy.
Jordan is definitely a bad guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think there's any question.
He's manipulating JoJo.
Completely.
JoJo's eating it up with a spoon.
This is classic Zach rationalization.
Yes.
I would have told you that before, though.
I mean, it's just, and the thing is also, this
but
is,
what? How do you explain Luke?
But it's
that
not,
brings us back to,
I
you
can't.
Can.
It is got to be brutal.
We got to get Luke on the
they're
show.
They're two on one. They're three of us. If two of us didn't talk to the other one, guess what? That singled out guy is bad.
Doesn't say good things about the third guy.
No.
Rarely you're going to say, well, those two must have just like a huge, they must be different.
As we know, anyway, yes, three is the lowest number in the world.
It just seems to be like Jordan, Aaron is everything that Jordan wants to be.
Everyone wants to be.
Well, yeah, he would have liked his football career to go a little farther than Vandy.
Look. It's strange. And Aaron Rodgers is going to have to... It sucks for him, too, because they're doing, like... it's such an invasive deal. He's going to have to start answering questions about this. And this has got to be the last thing that, like, a pro quarterback who already is under the microscope the way Rodgers is, the last thing anyone needs.
He doesn't need this at the bottom of a dog pile against the Vikings in Minnesota, having people talk about his brother on The Bachelor. Do you think that there's any way Aaron doesn't know
or didn't know? That it's a scheme deal where, I mean, I have like this theory now.
Yeah.
I'm always on the lookout for when we start thinking everyone starts to zig, somebody's zagging. And if they're all in it together, what's a good example? Like the Rio Olympics, right? It's so bad. It's going to be awful. It's going to be dangerous. Nope. Everyone's turning on their TV.
Yep.
You know, it's like, if that's what they're doing, I wouldn't be surprised. All I'm saying.
Someone's zagging. That's all you're trying to say.
If everyone's going one way, look for the guy going the other.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Neither.
It makes sense. People get it.
The point is, Zach, watch out for your boy. I'm not sure
He's fine.
I don't know that he is. Can I
say something about Bachelor in general?
Yeah.
Watched it solo the other day because I was on a work trip down in San Antonio. Mm. Nice place.
Gorgeous little town. Riverwalk?
Yeah, just a little slice of Americana. Mm. And I was watching it solo, and it's weird to watch by yourself.
Not as good.
It's not near, you feel dirtier watching it alone when you're not making fun of what's going on. With
you're not
friends.
Like laughing out loud.
You're just like, so this guy, they're on a date, he's trying to kiss her, it's not working, I fast forwarded some stuff.
You're like, Harrison did crush that coming up, but that's about it. Should we go to the other number 12?
Do it.
The one no one cares about.
Was it May 2015? Does that sound right? The first Deflategate playoffs?
The playoffs were January 2015.
Yes.
We're like almost 600 days in.
And the next stop is the high court, Chris.
It's got to happen.
It's his only recourse left.
Zach, where are you on this now? Because I feel like I changed my mind a lot.
I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about it. Like,
can you believe?
Suspend him or don't suspend him? I don't give a shit.
What I can't believe is that they can't just do one game. What I cannot believe is that, like, everyone is so entrenched that they cannot just make a deal.
Everyone is so dug in, Chris.
And the money spent, it's like, Brady didn't do anything wrong. He got railroaded by Goodell, and Goodell has this power that, quite unfortunately, the players signed off on.
It's just so tiring. Like, suspend him 0 games, suspend him 1, suspend him 4. They're going to go 12-4, and they're going to win their division. And they're going to probably be in the Super Bowl.
But although, Zach, from Brady's standpoint, and look, we've covered this. Everyone has. Like, you just, it's not fair. And if I were Brady, I'd be doing the same thing. You have all the power at your disposal to try to take the Supreme Court. It would be the best. People would tailgate. It would be amazing.
A Belichick defense, hopefully, an argument.
Get him up there.
And no cameras inside the high court, unfortunately.
Do you guys see, I mean, the Barstool guys who obviously, you know, gave us some press, they want to, like, boycott the Thursday night game. The third game of the season, that's their plan to boycott that?
Not show.
Just, like, have nobody be there for the NFL Network game?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, if you can get it together. Like, if you just have patches of empty seats, that's not good.
No, it's never going
to
happen.
Portnoy, he wanted to do it. So, I mean, that's his record. If you think about it, it would be amazing, first of all. I actually think
it would be amazing.
Might be able to pull it off. But then again, it's like, all right, then you don't have fans. Like, you're on
neutral
field. Like, you want to get home field advantage.
And you want to see Jimmy G throw it around a little bit. You know, Garoppolo is going to have 4 games under center. I think we're going to see something special.
He'll have 4 decent games and get paid an insane amount.
A ton.
I wanted them last year to have been good if he had gotten 4 games if they hadn't celebrated the Super Bowl until he came back. That's what I thought was going to be cool.
That would have been good.
They'll still figure out some way to stick it to the NFL. But it is amazing. This is another example of what I was talking about. Like, as much as everyone hates Goodell, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The guy's not getting fired. Like, he's got it figured out in a way. Like, he has it figured out. He's got everything where he wants it. He doesn't, if you don't mind being hated as much as he's being hated, this is good for the brand of the league in a way.
You think the conflict is good for the NFL?
100%. It's like, who do you feel more strongly about, him or Adam Silver? And feeling strongly about people is all fame and all attention is about these days.
Yeah.
God, I hope we never have to talk about this again.
I wonder. I mean, this, talk about legs.
Let's talk about the next QB, my guy.
Go ahead.
Timmy Tebow, Republican National Convention.
It's the same conversation. Wait, Brady Tebow.
Can we also point out the fact that I only have a week to live?
Alex has to go to the Republican National Convention, otherwise known as the War of 1812.
Because I will be in Fallujah, a.k.a. Cleveland, for the week. And
I'm honestly,
he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He's a fighter.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
And
they
give you a vest and everything.
Yeah, so Chris, Tebow on the list of speakers. No Palin, but plenty of Tebow.
must piss Russell Wilson off so much.
Oh my God.
That's
kind of
my take
on it. You think he's a refub?
The thing is,
I'm in then. If it's pissing Russell Wilson off, yeah.
I knew you would. Because Tebow, it's like,
or what?
Wilson's only famous, only gets his God pulpit because he's a good quarterback. Tebow's famous because he's Tebow.
Yes.
He brought someone back to life on an airplane like a couple weeks ago. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see that.
Zach, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
He prayed over someone and they literally came back to life.
He used
on a
to do
Delta
that on the
flight.
Field all the time.
On a regional flight in Delta, he brought a man back to life.
Is a doctor or Tim Tebow on this plane?
You can't put a price on Christ-like abilities like that.
We're all going to feel really stupid if it turns out he has godlike powers.
I mean, what he did with the Denver Broncos winning that playoff game, I'll believe in anything.
The playoff game? How about all the...
That's what I'm saying. Whatever. The whole lead up. Yeah.
You I love honestly, Tebow.
No, it's not that I You're love Tebow. You love just Tebow. Like, Say it. When has it ever happened where someone's been literally too famous to hold a job?
And...
He could have a job if he wasn't who he is.
And dog shit at football. Pretty much. No, I mean, that is, Chris, come on.
I think as a change
Chris, he
of
could
pace
barely
guy,
throw.
I think as a change of pace guy, I'm like making the crazy.
I'm break. Not sure he's a lefty.
They were
day.
Getting onside kicks.
So. I got news for you. Matt Stafford's never brought anyone back to life.
But yes, like the way the field opened up in that Broncos playoff game on yeah. that.
And the game's
you think something's going on.
Beating like,
I'm not
winning,
saying
like,
something's going on, but I'm not yeah. saying
they were,
it isn't.
They were winning games like 14-12, scoring all the points. Yep. Yeah.
I can't wait to okay. see him speak. I'll tune in just for that. I'll turn it off after
I
that,
think
like,
a lot of people are, Chris, in Gainesville especially.
And Russell Wilson's like, I thought that this like marriage celibacy thing was going to work out. Boom, Tebow, RNC, take it.
I can't. What is he introducing, Trump? Is he going to be the last guy? No, but if they were smart.
No, I think Eastwood's doing it again.
Eastwood in the chair. Yeah, all right. Do you have someone to take into the sauna?
We do a segment called The Sauna. I think first we're going to give the people a little bit of what we've been experiencing feedback-wise
yeah, yeah.
for the last 12
Mostly
hours.
Mostly just yeah. negative pertaining to you.
It's just, yeah, how does it always... Anyway, and then I've got a little something for a famous person.
I wasn't sure if you did. That's
yeah,
why I asked.
I'm going to let him or her know how I feel.
Oh, God.
But we'll start with the positive feedback we're getting about the podcast. We're not going to hear total and complete vitriol in this version of the sauna.
I don't like that.
But neither do I.
Come on, Clue.
But he is going to say a couple words about Taylor Swift. I imagine not all of those words will be kind, Chris.
I have some issues with the way she's been conducting herself lately.
Okay. We'll get to that in a moment. I can't wait. But let's begin. It's day one of the pod. The great people at Compass Media put the teaser trailer video out there on the internet. Deadspin gets a hold of it. Barstool Sports gets a hold of it. And all of a sudden, all this positive feedback is pouring out on the internet, on the message
boards.
People
are just excited for us. The internet is a great place to meet new friends.
They're happy for us. They're excited about the podcast. Chris,
like
an old buddy.
Sarcastic,
Chris,
I'm
old
going
buddy,
these.
An old buddy of yours from high school even posted
yeah, he reached
something
out.
On the stool.
All right, so let's just read this. Yeah. You know, so, like I said, the feedback hasn't been great so far, but we think of it as constructive criticism. We're going to do our best to make you guys proud, but this was just one that, you know, it's hard to ignore, coming from Disco Stew. Shout out Disco Stew. Quote, went to high school with Chris Lupica, not a fan. Kid was a pompous pipsqueak who tried really hard to make fun of others to make people like him. Just imagine a snotty Greenwich kid. I do like his dad, though. Read a lot of his books. Great writer. Kind of softens it at the end, but
he really, I didn't even see the part about dad.
Yeah, no, he's
I stopped reading after Pipsqueak.
First of all, I'm from New Canaan. Second of all, I mean, it's tough because I thought people liked me in high school.
No, you were wrong.
You know, so what are you going to do? All I have to say is Disco Stew, I've changed.
Maybe you guys will patch thing up.
I've changed. You know, I'm still a Pipsqueak.
You've changed for the worse. I think you peaked in high school.
I know, I thought I peaked in high school.
Not
so
according
this,
to...
This has been really revelatory. Anyway, Disco Stew, all I can say to that is my bad.
We got some other... Fuck all those fucks. That's good.
That's very good. Yeah, thanks for that.
Very punchable faces.
That is true.
They must be talking about Alex.
That's true. I wonder what their thoughts on Bieber are. They're very positive.
Got to have them to list the most...
Wait, let me give this one. This is a Twitter we got directly to us. The guy said, apparently this guy runs his own blog. He's got like 200 followers. I asked my dad to give my blog an endorsement, and he hurled a whiskey bottle at me. This will be garbage, though, referring to our podcast. This seems like something you got to work out with your dad, dude.
Yeah.
Like, get it figured out.
That sounds like a tough situation. We wish you all the best. Yeah. Doc, is my advice there. We're going to continue to gather this feedback. We're going to continue to accept this constructive criticism with open arms.
We're welcoming it. Deadspin, keep... tweeting us.
We're going to try and improve. What we do hope is that since...
We'll turn them.
We'll try.
Disco Stu's not changing his mind. It's been 10 years since I graduated.
We want them to tweet out the first episode. Would be great.
Well, let's not say our strategy.
All right. Please. Chris, couple words about Taylor Swift to finish us off here.
How about Taylor Swift? Seriously, have you guys seen this? Now she's saying she wrote Calvin Harris's songs on her way out the door when she's frolicking around the world with Tom Hiddleston.
With gorgeous Hiddleston.
And it's like,
next
if you're,
Bond?
Okay, if you're Hiddleston, hang on. If you're Hiddleston, the red flags are just all over the place.
Buckle up.
Swift? Okay. Dude, they've been flying high years.
This is my sauna.
Okay.
And so she moves to Hyannisport to be closer to Connor Kennedy. She buys a home in Hyannisport.
Ooh, it's heating up in here,
boys.
Which,
for my money, is one of the most gorgeous pieces of
land. You spend some time there.
I've spent a little time out there.
You like the island.
And she moves in next to a high school senior. Red flag. She dates Calvin Harris. Throws him out the door and then says she wrote his songs. Red flag, frolicking around the world with Hiddleston. And I like Hiddleston. I'm worried about him.
Yeah.
Assess.
What did you think of the relationship with the Kennedy teenager?
That's weird, dude.
Yeah.
And then she sold the house, nice little tidy profit. I mean, she's ruthless. Nice little tidy. She's ruthless, and she needs to be stopped. And you guys are all enabling her.
And she only dates megastars, you know what I mean? Like, huge names. It's like, maybe your problem is you got to settle down with an average club.
Hiddleston literally got famous like 8 days before she started dating.
I know.
Find your club. That's all a girl should be thinking about.
Just right down the middle, 65 miles an hour. Put it on cruise control and you'll
have it. Not going to wow you in the upper 90s, but he'll hit you with a 91 mile an hour fastball.
Nobody liked him in high school.
Absolutely no one, especially Disco
Stu. I wonder if people didn't like us in high school.
I didn't see anything about it on the message boards,
Apparently, first time I've ever been on the internet and I get destroyed by Disco Stu. Thanks a lot, pal.
Well, Taylor Swift, welcome to the sauna. A high-profile guest in the old sauna, episode one. Ready to wrap things up, Zach?
Sure.
You got places to be. Tease next week. You don't have to whisper it. You can just say it.
All right.
Who are we having?
Next week we got... I don't want to just call him a bachelorette star because
he's
more than that.
He's much more.
We have a bachelorette star and social influencer is what I'd call it.
Yep. I saw him on the red carpet of Baller season two.
No, the guy's on... I mean, seriously.
That's where you expect him to be.
He's like going to the Stanley Cup, going to Foxwoods. I don't know why he's not on Bachelor in Paradise. What a miss.
Anyway, he's like posting with dental products on Instagram and like fitness products.
He's huge.
You know,
And he's murdering the massive. Pokemon. He's murdering the Pokemon game.
Yeah, I've heard he's been catching a lot of Pokemon.
For anyone who doesn't know, we're talking about it's JJ Lane from last season of Bachelorette.
For anyone who didn't know, if you live on Mars.
Yeah, he's our boy. He'll be on next week. Can't wait.
Diehards, we love you. Newcomers, we welcome you. And we'll see you next week.
Haters, we need you.
In the Loop, episode 1.